once again to another episode of Sleep Paralysis News. This is the space where we talk about sleep paralysis in detail. The overall objective is to hear stories from sleep paralysis experiences, for us to kind of dig a bit deeper and find out about the experiences, what it is, how it impacts people's lives, and hopefully provide support to other people who are going through the same experience. Today we have a guest with us, Raphael, who's going to share his story with us. And then without further ado, I think I'm going to go straight into it and hand over to you, Raphael. If you can talk to us, first of all, about your sleep paralysis, how many episodes you've had, how long has it been going on for you?
Hi, yeah, thanks again for having me. And it's nice to be able to talk about this openly. So I'm 42 now, and the earliest that I can remember experiencing sleep paralysis was 5 years old. And it's been regular since then, from as regular as maybe 3 times a week, and at best as irregular as maybe once a month, never less than that.
I would define that as quite chronic
yes.
Episodes. If it's been, and it's also been a central part of your life then through adolescence and adulthood.
Absolutely.
So the impact of that must be quite significant on you. But
it's led to sleep issues, yeah.
Definitely, I can understand that.
Oh yeah, you would be the biggest case that we've talked to then. Because with the amount of episodes that you just shared, yeah, you're up there, man.
Okay, do you want me to share with you my first one that I can remember?
How about sharing with us your most traumatic one?
Okay. I would say the most traumatic one was the first one that I can remember.
Okay.
I was 5 years old. It was early morning, and it actually started as a dream. And when I was a child, I had a, do you remember the cartoon He-Man?
Yes.
If you know He-Man. Okay, so I had a life-size plastic He-Man sword, and in my bedroom it was leant up against the wardrobe in the corner. And in my dream, so I am asleep at this point, I look at my He-Man sword and it slid down onto the floor by itself and snaked its way towards the bottom of my bed. It came up underneath my bed covers. At this point, I wake up and something's grabbing the bottom of my legs. And it's squeezing my legs really, really hard in a pulsating fashion. At this point, I'm awake and I'm trying to call my mum, but nothing can come out of my mouth. I can't move. I can't do anything. And all of a sudden, I'm released and it stops. And I go running into the bedroom and I tell my mother what happened. Obviously, she thinks it's just a nightmare, although I made her duct tape the letterbox shut that day, because in my mind as a child I thought that must be the only way something got in the house. And yeah, that was a terrifying experience for me, especially so young. It wasn't until I was older I kind of got more used to it, but that one scared the hell out of me. Yeah.
So Sheila, we can't hear you. I think you're talking. Let me see if I can.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Right. If you were having them when you were so young, did your parents think that there was anything a bit abnormal about these dreams that you were having or nightmares?
No, honestly, I think it just got chalked up to nightmares. But obviously, as you guys know, it's more than that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And so what's happened now as you've gotten older?
So, okay, this is going to seem strange, but I have to just say it as it is, otherwise I feel like I'm being disingenuous. Sometimes I can actually spot it in the dream now before it happens. So, like when I just told you the story of when I was a child and I saw the He-Man sword, and all of a sudden the sword took on a life of its own and became something separate from my dream, if you like. Now I spot it. So if I'm having a dream, I'll give you an example. I'll be in a dream and I'll say, this is actually a real example. I dreamt I was outside a coffee shop in like the outside seating area with some people, and there was other people around sitting at other tables. And all of a sudden I noticed someone on another table who was staring at me. And I instinctively knew they shouldn't be there. They're not part of my dream. And that would normally initiate a sleep paralysis attack. But now I wake myself up and get out of it before it happens. Sometimes it catches me out on that and I don't. But often I spot the people in my dreams that shouldn't be there. I feel that horrible negative energy from them. And I wake myself up before the attack begins. But not always. Sometimes it still happens.
So if you don't wake yourself up, and if you don't kind of interrupt it, what happens from there?
Okay, I'll give you an example of another one. This is actually quite a profound one because it's the first time I've ever heard something as loud and clear as I'm talking to you now, if not more. The sleep paralysis episode initiates. All of a sudden I'm sort of shocked awake. I can feel a pressure in my ears, like you would feel if you were deep underwater, and kind of a rumbling sound and a high-pitched tone. I can't move, I can't say anything. And a voice starts loud and clear in my head, but it doesn't sound like a human voice. It sounds very deep and croaky, more than a human could make if they tried. And it said, one. And I thought, oh no. You know when you're a child and you've done something, or you're not doing as you're told, and your parents go, right, that's it, one. Two, and you okay, what's coming? Something bad's going to happen. But it didn't. It just went one, 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 one. And it just kept repeating one the whole time. I have no explanation for it at all. And then just as it started, everything just switched off like a light. The high-pitched tone, the pressure in my ears, the voice, everything just went. I've thought for years, what the hell that was saying that to me for. I don't know what you guys would make of it. I've had I have heard other things before. Horrible dogs barking, but horrible sounding dogs, not normal sounding dogs, and it's like I can hear them far in the distance. But they're not outside or in someone else's backyard or something there. It's coming through the sleep paralysis attack directly into my mind. Anyway, I'll let you guys say something.
Have you ever seen any kind of life forms, apart from when you've said you've seen maybe a person that shouldn't be in that?
Yes, I have.
What have you seen?
Okay, so usually when I see something, it's some kind of random object moving in the room, like the He-Man sword or a coat that unpegged itself from the peg on the wall, fell on the floor and slid along the floor. Only one time have I ever seen something that was a life form, if you like, a humanoid figure. And it was a... I hate saying it. I don't talk about it much because it makes me sound crazy. But it was a humanoid figure standing in my bedroom, just standing, staring at me. It was... I couldn't make it out clearly because it wasn't physically there, but it was a humanoid figure, maybe 6.5 feet tall. It kind of looked muscular, and its head looked a bit too small for its body, and it looked reptilian-like. And I can't say anything else because that's the truth. That's what I saw.
So I have a, let me get back to this. My quick question is, have you ever told someone your experiences and they believed you? A family member, a friend? Have you been able to tell people about these experiences and they truly believed you? Has that happened for you?
That's a really good question.
Because
and I don't know that I can give you a definitive answer. I don't really tell anyone other than people very close to me. But I think maybe that thing I've just told you about that figure standing there, I think you're probably the third and fourth people I've ever told. One was my mother, who I'm fairly close with. She acted like she believed me. She didn't say there was anything wrong with, you know, oh, you need to go and see a doctor or something. But whether she did, it's hard because if you tell someone that and they actually genuinely believe you, they should be astounded. It should be almost life-changing, but it's not. So correct. I have to kind of accept that they are just humoring me.
Exactly. And the reason why I asked that, because like I said, I really haven't heard of someone that has as many episodes as you. So I'm wondering, and I cannot prove this, but just from all the interviews I do and all the studying, I wonder if there's healing. There is a sense of healing when you tell someone and they believe you. So if you seem like someone that has been suppressing this and harboring this, and because it's uncomfortable and there's not many people you can relate to with this. So what that does, I really think that is really creating more sleep paralysis episodes in you. So in order to reduce them, I think it would help to talk to someone, even if it's us, that believe you. When people believe you, that is what can heal you. That is what can let that, this is a subconscious thing that is going on with everyone going through sleep paralysis. And you got to figure out your own self. It's like a Rubik's Cube. Only you can figure yourself out. Only you can figure out what these dreams mean and why they're happening so much. But, you know, I'm no sleep doctor, but I've been through it and I've heard plenty of experiences and I've got schooling on it. So that would be a slight suggestion, is to find somebody, you know, to express this to. And they say, yeah, man, unbelievable. And they react to you like that instead of like, are you done? That was a nice story. Have a good day. You need to talk to somebody that's like, man, and I had this. And they definitely believe you. And you know the reaction when they believe you. And when you get that belief from someone, that's going to heal you a little bit. Just a little bit. I'm not going to say it's all going to just disappear. But from my dealings with people, it is very important for you to find somebody that believes you genuinely, and your subconscious mind knows that you're being believed. And I just wanted to put that out there.
I think as well, Cyrus, that there's something about when you speak to people about these experiences, it sparks a fear in the person. So they prefer to shut it down. They prefer to kind of ignore it like it doesn't exist because it contradicts the norm, doesn't it? You know, so they don't want to kind of believe it. They don't want to kind of relate to it. They think it's all a bit spooky. It's all a bit too much. And they rather keep it at a distance, you know, rather than have it kind of become a part of their reality, you know?
Yeah, so you're going to hear people say, well, it was just a dream, or that's just probably your imagination, or it was a hallucination. Because when I went through it, I understand it was a hallucination, but it was different from a hallucination. It was like a real, it was real hallucination, which is hard for me to explain. Because there's different kinds of hallucinations. Think, yeah. Like, oh, I know that's not real. But my hallucination with sleep paralysis, like, this was real. So it's hard for people to understand other people like you guys.
I agree with everything you guys said, by the way. And what you said, Cyrus, that kind of hit home a bit.
Great. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. Because it's been for my entire life and probably will be for the rest of it, an integral part of my life. And when you have something that's such a big part of your life, yet nobody believes you.
It's extremely isolating.
Yes, isolating. And I understand that it's completely unbelievable, which is why I think the only people that could ever believe you are people that have had it themselves.
Correct.
I even spot it sometimes, you know, like in England where I live, there's a hotel that's famous for being haunted. People specifically go there to stay at this hotel because it's famous for being haunted. And when you look into why it's haunted, it's because one day or one night a guy stayed there. The next morning he comes running down to the lobby screaming that he'd been attacked by a demon. And now the hotel is haunted. Well, I knew straight away that was he had a sleep paralysis attack. I was watching a show on TV about ghostly events. And there was an army soldier in Iraq who said he was on post, on guard duty, and he got attacked by a demon. And I turned to my wife and said, what he's not telling you is that he fell asleep. He had a sleep paralysis attack. And you see it around you in the world. But you don't meet these people. You don't know it's happening. So you never get to talk about it, you know?
There you go. Yep, that makes so much sense. There you go. You got what I like to say is you have the spiritual eye now. And everyone is just living with their earthly selves and their earthly eyes. We have spiritual goggles out. We have spiritual goggles on so we can the things that are unseen are permanent, and the things that we can't see are temporary in this world. So we have a deeper insight to the world that we live in. And the truth is, there is a spiritual world outside of us. I can't prove it. It's been proven to me, but I cannot prove it to other people. So it's a blessing. It's a blessing in disguise. I'd rather go through all this and know this deeper truth than live in ignorance and confusion and mystery.
Absolutely, Cyrus. That's what living with this did to me, is it made me realize that we're born and raised thinking that what you see is what you get. What you can see, touch, taste, and smell is all there is. That's drummed into you. But because I've lived with this, I didn't need any other proof to know that wasn't true. No, there's something else going on. There's something else going on here. I know I'm not crazy and I know I'm not asleep. This doesn't fall into anything that I know that science has ever told me. There's something else going on. And that's what I took from it at an early age.
So on that note, what do you think is going on?
Is that a question for me?
Yes.
I really can't say I know because I don't. I can tell you that I have been to the doctor about it, and they didn't have a clue what I was talking about. And I realized halfway through telling them, I saw their face change. And I thought, okay, I just need to leave. I'm sure there is an explanation for it, but I think that explanation exists outside of the way we currently understand what the world is and how it works. And if I listen to my heart and not my mind, I think it really is a spiritual event, although a negative one. And I think the fact that it happens around sleep is to do with your mind being in some other more susceptible spiritual state. And that's all I can say, I think, really.
We had to slightly answer that. And again, I cannot prove this as truth, but from my understanding is what's going on here, there is, like I said, it's for each individual to figure out about themselves. So maybe you had an abusive childhood. Maybe you're really scared of being alone. Maybe there's a deeper, your subconscious mind is coming alive. When you go to sleep, your conscious mind finally rests for the day, but then your subconscious mind becomes the director, and your subconscious mind knows what you're afraid of. It knows your fears and knows your insecurities. So through these sleep process episodes, there's something being revealed to you that you need to interpret. So
sure.
One example would be, you know, say someone is suppressed sexually. Then when they go through sleep paralysis, they have some type of sexual encounter with sleep paralysis. It's even called incubus. They even name the demons for this stuff, you know, so that person needs to confront something in their real life for this subconscious to, you know, fix. It's trying to give you clues. And so whatever you're going through, you need to be your own psychologist for a little bit. And it's like, what happened when I was a kid, or what am I missing in my life? You need to ask all these self-examination questions so you can figure it out. For me personally, I was living in sin ignorantly. I was ignorantly living in sin. And so that the demonic encounters were almost like a reflection of the sin I wasn't acknowledging in my life. I had to figure that out for myself. That's not for everybody. See, everyone else is going to have a different story as to trying to interpret what their sleep paralysis episodes mean to them. So that would be my advice to you, is to really start with your childhood and go all the way up to adolescence and figure out what is trying to be revealed to you. What is your subconscious mind trying to tell you in these sleep paralysis episodes? Is it fear?
Can I just ask this, Cyrus? I mean, from that theory, what you're suggesting is that the subconscious is working with the spiritual. Is that your take on it? That your subconscious interacts with the spiritual world, and the spiritual world reflects or is a mirror or plays out what the subconscious is. So it's a matter of spiritual plus the kind of mental. Is that your take
on it? I would say that, especially with the pineal gland. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, Raphael. Look into the pineal gland, and that's it's something special in us. It's what I like to call, and I've read it in studies, the spirit molecule. We're actually spirit molecules that are just residing in a brain, in our minds, in our pineal gland. So when we go to sleep, our spirit actually leaves our mind. And so we remain asleep. We remain paralyzed. And I do agree that that can mean so we don't act out our dreams, so we don't fall off the bed, so we don't sleepwalk. See what happens when you don't have sleep paralysis? People sleepwalk and do stuff that they don't remember. So we are supposed to go to sleep paralysis so we don't jolt ourselves up to sleep. So in that moment that we are paralyzed, our spirit is not attached to our body. It's not. It's out there doing something, and then you wake up, and it's like, oh, wait, my spirit hasn't aligned yet. The chemicals haven't worn off yet. And so now you're stuck in this. It's almost just a computer error. That's really what it is, because our minds are computers. It's a computer error. It is a glitch when we have the sleep process, and then your mind has to make sense of what is going on. And that's why I hear this a lot. When you have laundry in the corner of your room or a coat rack, it's going to be the devil. It's going to turn into whatever in your peripheral vision is. Something scary has happened, and those pile of clothes that's piled up in the corner, it's going to turn to something very scary, because your mind's like trying to make sense of it. Something scary is going on. So that coat rack must be something. And then you fade out of it. And it's like, oh crap, that was just clothes on the end of my bed. That was just a clothes hanger, or, you know, for coats in the corner of my room. But it was something at that moment. So your mind is just trying to make sense of it. So I definitely believe that our pineal gland is strongly correlated to the spirit world. And when we wake up, we're back in the earthly realm.
Well, I can relate to some of that. And it's when you see, I said to you at the start that I can remember my first attack at 5 years old, and you saying about it being related to things in your life. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, but I was 5 years old. What sin could I have done? What could I have done? And then, it occurred to me. My mother and father got divorced when I was 4 years old. And I actually never saw him again since then, because he was Spanish and he moved back to Spain, hence my name. And that was that. So that does tie into kind of what you just said there. The spirit thing makes sense to me, I guess, because if that's in part some way to do with you animating your body, and that, I guess, explains why you couldn't move. It makes sense to me.
I think I would just like to add in as well that the science does say that stress is a trigger for sleep paralysis. So we do know that if there are certain things that are going on in your life that can cause you to be really stressed out and anxious and stuff like that, you are more prone to having sleep paralysis episodes. But that doesn't mean that for everyone who's stressed out, they're going to have sleep paralysis, which is the interesting factor.
Yeah.
Also of interest is the visions and the experiences. They're all the same. You know, we are all seeing the same entities, hearing the same sounds, feeling that same fearful emotion. You know, it's all very, very similar for all of us. But yes, yeah, stress is the trigger.
So two things to that, when I was giving my example, to clear that up, not to say that everyone going through sleep paralysis is living in some sort of sin. That was just my testimony. So that could be someone else's. And then to the stress thing, you know, I was having sleep paralysis around the age of 10 years old. And I can't really say I was stressed. I mean, I was taking naps. I didn't have good sleep hygiene, but I can't. So what do you say to all the kids going through sleep paralysis at the age of 10 to 13? Would it be asleep? Would it be the sleep paralysis be due to stress? And another one is, for me, I'm a spiritual guy. I this is what got me out of sleep paralysis. So it is my belief and testimony that, you know, to me, a lot of times when you have these demonic encounters and I hear people's stories, it lets me know, cannot prove this, that maybe you have a special mission in life. Maybe the devil is upset with your trying to derail you. And so what if you're going to change the world, Raphael? What if you were a little five-year-old kid and you were just on pace to be someone to bring knowledge to the world? I think the demons would be upset about that. And so the demons would... Go ahead.
Sorry. I just wanted to say that you saying that, if you was to look down my Twitter feed or X as it's called now, then that is exactly what you would see. That's exactly what you would see is what you just said.
Which, what's that?
How can I explain it? Okay. Since I was a child, although it's gotten stronger and stronger as I've gotten older, I do have, I don't like saying it because it's relatively new to me. It kind of felt like coming out the closet in a way. I do have a psychic ability, which I use. Sometimes it's good things, sometimes it's bad things. Sometimes I connect to horrendous murders, which I almost experience them as if I was them myself. But I also connect to information that is almost secret or lost to humanity. And that information, I almost feel it's my duty to put out. And that's what you would see down my my Twitter page or X page. And the other thing I just wanted to say, Sheila, which you touched on, is that this has been going on, like Cyrus said earlier on, for countless thousands of years, worldwide, by cultures unconnected, through ages unconnected, and everyone is seeing the same thing.
Yeah,
that's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable. How can we not be talking about this? Somebody doesn't want us to become spiritual beings. That, I'm telling you, my conspiracies that I get deep into, I'm not trying to go crazy or nothing. I entertain things that make sense. This world does not want us to reach our potential as spiritual beings. That is my conclusion. Someone changed my mind. I can see it everywhere. They don't want us to understand what the pineal gland is. They don't want us to know what astral projection is or sleep paralysis opens up the spirit world. They want to keep us ignorant consumers in this world, and they don't want us to elevate who they are. They could be your government. They can be whoever's part of the Antichrist. They can be what the dark side. I don't know who they are, but hey, like I said, I tell this to people. In your tap water, be careful drinking your tap water. And they say it's in the water. They were just joking, but it's not a joke. There's fluoride in our water, and they say it's good for our teeth. Fluoride actually calcifies the pineal gland. Look it up. Fact check me. So imagine that type of conspiracy. Let everyone drink water, and their pineal gland shrinks, and they'll have less and less spiritual experiences without their pineal gland. And so then there is no truth.
So do you think, Cyrus, that people that have sleep paralysis attacks are perhaps potentially people that are more potentially spiritual people? Is that what you would say?
Yes, that is. And that's what I was getting at with you. There is something special about you. We're all special. We're all, you know, have our gifts here and there. So thank you for sharing that you have that ability, because that's in the Bible. And it even says in the last days, you know, how these gifts will be, you know, shown more in the last days. So you have a gift, and the devil, the demons don't want you to grow in your gift. They want you to be depressed. They want you to be isolated. They want you to be shy and scared, because if you open up, then you're going to open up doors to everyone and lead them to light, lead them to, you know, self-actualization. That is what, you know, the dark side or your government doesn't want. They don't want you to reach your best. They want you to be a consumer. They want you to be a mule, and they feed you. You do what they say, 9 to 5, you eat your food and you go to bed and you give them the money. So yes, everyone who's going through sleep paralysis, not to make people feel like, well, I never went through sleep paralysis. Am I not special? Yes, we're all special in different ways. But the people going through sleep paralysis, to me, my interpretation, you have a destiny. You have a destiny, a special destiny, and they don't like it. They don't like it. And they rather see you miserable and depressed and on the dark side then for you, like I said, to be a beacon of light to other people going through this or using your abilities to help people. So yes, if you went through sleep paralysis and you got the clue that you have proof now that there's a spiritual side to life, yeah, you are special. How could you not? It's less than 20% of the population is experiencing this. Or probably more because people don't talk about it, but it's less than 40%. Less than half the population is going through this stuff. So you should feel special.
Just to say as well, Raphael, that I've interviewed hundreds of people now, and there is definitely a psychic connection. And the people that I speak to talk about different psychic abilities, whether it's being able to know the future, speaking to someone who has passed on, touching an object and knowing instantly, feeling things through objects. You know, there are different psychic abilities that are becoming more and more kind of prominent in people who experience sleep paralysis. So that I know is a fact. There is definitely a connection there between the psychic abilities and the sleep paralysis experiencer. And I'm not talking about the, you know, the psychic abilities that we all know about, you know, hearing voices, seeing visions, seeing apparitions. It's much more deeper than this, you know. Things being passed on to you. It's very, very deep, the level of psychic awareness that persons who have sleep paralysis have.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cyrus, you kind of blew my mind with what you said a minute ago. I could relate to so much of it.
Great.
That's great.
And you and even described me to a T in many ways.
Not to act like I'm an official counselor or anything, but I truly want to help people out here. And like I said, I hope we helped you, and I hope you find a network of people where you can talk about this. So now, instead of living in fear after you get past that, you will be like, what am I supposed to do with this? That's the question you should be asking. What am I supposed to be
doing?
Can
I just say as well that I won't go into the details of what's happening in my life right now because it's not relevant and it's a long story. But you coming into my life right now, both of you, at this exact time, saying what you just said, and our interaction right now, at the point in time in my life, I'm sitting here right now thinking, this can't be a coincidence.
There are no coincidences.
I'm on that side.
There's no coincidences. There aren't any coincidences. Yeah. It's part of a grand master plan.
Exactly. Even though we have free will, it's crazy that we have so much free will, but yet there's a predeterminism to the world. One of the greatest debates is free will versus determinism. You know, I'm amazed by it. I'm mind blown by that debate. But I'm so glad that we can help you, and I hope you run off with this now and don't fear it. What you fear, you will draw to yourself. So if I fear getting in a car accident every day, if that is truly my fear on a subconscious level, man, it's only a matter of time before I get in a car accident. I'm attracting that. With your mind, it's powerful. Mm-hmm. You draw to yourself that you won't persistently think about. You draw to yourself the things that which you most persistently think about. So if you are so afraid of sleep paralysis, guess what? It's coming for you every night because you fear it. Overcome your fear. My aunt told me this a long time ago. Fear is false evidence affecting reality. Fear, F-E-A-R. Once I heard that, I was like, it's true. None of this is real. Was the demon going to stab me? It just wants to feel my fear. That's all they want. They just want to feel your fear because they're insecure bullies. And so they just want you to be afraid of them. And that's what makes them feel powerful. Lose the fear and watch. You will be in control of everything. Like you kind of just said, you're able to like kind of recognize things what's going on. And that's a good sign, because when you're in complete fear, you can't get that astral projection or understand like, oh, I'm in a dream, or oh, this is sleep paralysis. So you're heightening your awareness. You're heightening your subconscious awareness by understanding that you are going through a sleep paralysis episode. So yeah, like I said, I hope you run with this, man, because we got gifts. You have gifts, and you're going to suppress it if you're operating out of fear.
And it's what people are referring to as a superpower. A lot of the people I speak to see as their superpower. And when asked, would they rather be without it? They say no, they don't want it to go. They would rather have it than not have it, because it's seen now as such an asset in their lives, you know. But there definitely is something about overcoming that fear part of it, you know. And then you'll surprise yourself. You'll suddenly be able to take control of the experiences that are happening. And then that's when the fun really starts to begin, you know, in terms of going to other dimensions, other worlds. It can kind of really take you to amazing places and feelings of euphoria and such happiness and love and peace, you know. I think there's a lot more for us to learn about it.
Well, yeah. I feel like I've learned something tonight for sure. In that I think I feel like I understand it a bit more now, and thus understand myself a bit more now.
Awesome.
So yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah.
And thank you, Raphael. I think that's a good point for us to end on. So thank you very much.
Thanks for inviting me. And thanks, Cyrus. Meant a lot.
Thank you so much. Stay in touch with our episodes, and hey, reach out if you need anything through email, however kind of way. I'm so happy to help everybody. This feels good. So thank you so much.